Hello everyone to yet another episode of Zeta Radio, and today it's my greatest pleasure to be here with Julian Enoch. Julian is a solution architect at ZetaScale, perhaps the most experienced solution architect, but well, Julian, just tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Hello everyone. So yes, I'm working with Angelo for a long time for distributed system. I have a strong background in middleware developments and usage. And yes, indeed, I worked a lot for DDS products, with various DDS products, and then started with Angelo all the Zeno journey.
Yeah, and in fact, I think in ZetaScale, you are one of the few people that know DDS and Zeno inside out.
Because yeah, that's correct. Yes, I'm not the most experienced guy in DDS, because we have already a lot of people knowing DDS very well, starting with Eric Boisson, of course. But yes, I have a long experience with DDS also.
Well, I mean, it's not just experience. You wrote a DDS implementation.
Yes, actually, yes. I wrote a DDS implementation in Java, Vortex Cafe, a long time ago. That also led us to the very first experiment of trying to scale DDS protocol up to the edge and then the cloud with a product named Vortex Link at this edge.
Or Vortex Cloud even before.
Vortex Cloud
right.
Before, yeah.
And I think those were the early days where we started finding out, because of the Java version and because of the use in Android, of the massive challenges that DDS had in wireless networks.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, starting, of course, with the discovery protocol of DDS, which is by default based on UDP multicast that can only work in a LAN. And it won't go outside your LAN, can't go outside the cloud. And then all the usage of UDP, which is challenging also, to cross the NAT, to cross all the internet going up to the cloud.
And the verbosity of the DDS discovery protocol. I mean, we were doing, you know, contortionistic exercise to try
Indeed.
To work around that in Vortex Cloud.
Yes, yes, because DDS needs really to send all the information about all publishers, subscribers to every participant, and that leads to huge scalability issues that we encountered.
And just to put this in, you know, into perspective with respect to a timeline, this was 10 years ago, even more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's great, because this gives background into what was our experience already 10 years ago, what we could foresee, the challenges that we were already trying to solve, and perhaps one of the reasons why we did Zeno. But at the same time, I mean, it's fair to say that we didn't do Zeno just for robotics, right? I mean, we had a series of challenges, and I guess we'll have an entire podcast on Zeno, so I will just want to quickly touch upon this. But one of the problems that we saw and we touched with our hands and that we suffered and that made us sweat, right, was indeed scaling DDS down to small devices, running on constrained networks, and dealing with discovery and, I would say, its reliability protocol for how it works.
Yeah, and that's exactly all the pain points that a lot of roboticists are suffering right now with the ROS ecosystem.
So let's fast forward to a couple of years ago, right? We still look the same.
I mean, oh yes,
no plastic surgery. It's just using the right protocol at the right time. Okay, jokes apart. So fast forward to today, or a couple of years ago, and what we start to see is happening what we had been kind of predicting, right? Because all of a sudden, I think there was this transition from fixed robot to mobile robot, like this cute boys or lady robot, whatever it is, sitting between us, and transition from fixed robot to mobile robots, which meant no more wires, but wireless network. And as a consequence, right, roboticists struggling with the issues and the challenges that we already had seen in other domains 10 years ago. And you know, what do we do then?
What do we do? Yes, we have the perfect tool actually for this, which is this new protocol, which is Zeno. And the simple thing to do is actually to bridge what is already used from DDS for robotic in ROS 2 especially, and then to bridge all the protocol, but only what's required, nothing more, over Zeno, which is far more adapted to wireless environment and to go up to the cloud, but also provide solution for embedded devices that are also required for robotic.
Yeah, and so in other terms, as you know, there wasn't an RMW Zeno, and by the way, there was an experiment contributed by Esteve. Hello, Esteve. Hope you enjoy our podcast. We decided to build a tiny bridge which actually wasn't specific to ROS to begin with, because it was a DDS plugin for the Xeno router that would allow us to bridge between DDS and Xeno, but a generic DDS application.
Exactly.
And we kind of drop it there saying, well, by the way, you can actually leverage this. And do you recall what was the first glamorous use of this? Well, you should, because you made it happen, right?
The first glamorous. I'm not sure what you mean by
well,
glamorous.
Let's see if you guess then.
Well,
highest visibility. In the autonomous challenge.
So
maybe you want to share with our listeners that war story, because that was a
exactly.
good one.
That's also in the autonomous challenge is this challenge with a race car managed by student teams, all the same cars. And actually, they all running wireless communication with the base station, but they need to all share the same wireless environment, which is a very dedicated one for the big track, which is a Cisco wireless environment. And
curb.
The problem is that...
Right, the Cisco curb, the universal curb, wireless,
exactly.
whatever, yeah.
yeah.
Which is pretty peculiar network.
It's peculiar, yes, because there is a limited bandwidth and they need to have an equal sharing of bandwidth amongst all the teams.
For fairness.
Fairness, absolutely. And that's already a challenge because all the communication happening inside the race car cannot go on this limited bandwidth, right?
Which I believe was, what, 1 megabit per car?
No, it was less.
Less than 1 megabit?
Yes, per car it was 200 kilobytes.
Right, and in a car you have plenty more.
Yes.
So what happened when they hooked up the car which were running on ROS?
Well, at first,
this wireless network?
At first on ROS it cannot work at all because all of a sudden when you start all the ROS nodes with DDS, you have a bunch of discovery traffic occurring with all the nodes and with the base station. So just the traffic of discovery already kill
the wireless network.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was no go.
So we proposed the bridge as a solution, the DDS bridge. And this DDS bridge does the automatic discovery and then optimize the discovery on a single TCP link with the base station. But still, that was not good enough because there are still a lot of traffic on the car. And by default, the bridge was routing everything. So we added for them this option, which allowed to down samples and select only the topic that needs to go on the wireless network.
So there are two aspects, right, which are important. Decide what goes out, because maybe not everything needs to go out. And then something else that is very common in this kind of integration use cases, that the frequency with which data is published inside the car is not necessarily the frequency with which you need to receive the same data outside of the car. And so you want to control both aspects, what goes out and with which cadence.
Yes, exactly. They manage to control exact bandwidth they are using on the wireless, and the challenge happened.
Yeah, and out of that, right, the rumor started spreading that indeed just by dropping this tiny router inside your robot without changing anything, you know, things were working. It was like a little bit of a snowball effect, more and more adoption, more and more user happy, which led us to actually say, well, you know, it's interesting, we're helping a lot, but we could do much, much better.
We can do
so
better.
So what could we do better? Can we just try to explain or visualize
it? So actually, this bridge was generated to DDS, so it didn't exploit all the specificities of ROS2, starting, for instance, with all the implementation of services, which on DDS leverage two topics. So it means four entities in terms of DDS. While in Xeno, we could replace this with just a query reply operation, which is built in the Xeno protocol.
Through the queryables, yes.
And this saves for the services, but it saves also more for actions, for instance, which actually are using three services.
So, and in DDS, each service, how many topics is it using?
Each service is using two topics, which needs for an action to use actually 8 different topics.
Which makes huge amount of discovery.
Huge amounts of discovery, exactly. Yeah. So by optimization of the bridge, doing a bridge which is dedicated to ROS2, we again manage to reduce the discovery, reduce the traffic. Also, we introduced in Xeno a new feature to support all the graph cache, which is the liveliness tokens, which helps a lot to fastly react to discovery and undiscovery of endpoints.
Yeah, and that's something, a feature that was introduced for let's say, ROS, but is useful for everyone.
Indeed.
And it's a very scalable way of monitoring liveliness of things around the net. And so there was another glamorous, I would say, achievement. And I recall, puzzled users seeing your demonstration at ROS conference this year, where they couldn't believe how fast the GraphWiz was. Can you articulate a little bit why they were so surprised?
Yes, well, they were surprised just because when you're not using ZenoBridge at all, you're just using plain ROS2. You start your robot.
With DDS, you
with
mean?
With DDS, yeah. You mean? You start your robot, and then you start AirVis to visualize everything. And it takes some several seconds, even sometimes some minutes, to discover all the topics, all the, the endpoints of your robot.
Depending on the complexity of the robot. The more nodes, ROS nodes that are in the robot, the more usually it takes.
Depending on the complexity and of the network also.
Yeah.
If the AirVis is remote with wireless networks, sometimes it doesn't even work.
Yeah. Right.
And with the bridge, well, just in less than 1 second, we can see 500 endpoints to be discovered in the logs, and AirVis just pop up and you get everything. It's just less than 1 second.
Okay, and that leads us to the ROS conference this year, and which was in October timeframe. And just about in the same time frame, there was an important announcement. But before talking about the announcement, let's go a little bit back, right? So let's keep playing with time, jumping backward and forward, at least in our memory. As I don't think we have built a time machine yet in Zscaler. I think that will be our project after Zeno, isn't
it? Working on it.
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Coming soon.
Yeah. So we will have a podcast on that also in the future. Or in the past, because then we'll be able to play with
want.
The time machine.
When exactly. we want anyway. We
exactly. Work. Exactly. So in parallel, right, because of, let's say, more and more user, on one hand, finding the advantages of Zeno when deploying it as this bridge in ROS, and some other user, indeed, still struggling with DDS, not just on Wi-Fi, but for other, I would say, configuration issues, right? With the default, you have two robots in the same network, all of a sudden the topic starts overlapping. So there are all a series of complexities. There was this initiative within the ROS community of trying to identify an alternate RNW. So a protocol that could be used to implement another non-DDS ROS middleware layer. Because, I mean, for our listeners, ROS has this abstraction layer that is intended to shield, let's say, the generic framework from the actual protocol, but all the RMW implementation are actually, or tier one implementation, are DDS-based. And I think it's fair to say that some of the decisions that were taken were also somewhat influenced 8 years ago by DDS. And so there was an evaluation, and I think, I mean, we made it quite clear in the community that we were passive to this evaluation. We would have answered questions, but we didn't engage. We didn't answer any of the poll. I mean, we were there only to ask technical questions. I think that's important ethically for a technology provider. And once again, fast forward in October, tail of October, we are kind of caught by surprise. A happy surprise, because in our heart, I guess that's what we're silently wishing, but never admitting it, Zeno gets selected as the RMW alternate.
Yes, what was really amazing was all the requests from the community, a lot of reply saying, hey, why don't you try Zeno? We would like you to try Zeno.
Actually. So indeed, there were two things that were, you know, extremely flattering, and at the same time, you know, I think putting lots of pressure on all of us. The fact that the community was asking majoritarily to get an RMW alternate based on Zeno. And even the technical assessment, when they match all the requirements with the protocol feature, essentially ranked Zeno as the best fit. And so what happened then? Tell us.
Open Robotics started to work on this RMW Zeno.
Well, Intrinsic. Actually, that's their I think their committed contribution for the next release of ROS. Yeah.
And so they are starting to work on this, and they are asking us some support, because indeed there is some tiny details that we need to add in Zeno as a feature to support the best that we can.
Right, or to ensure, or to help them also architecting this, right?
Absolutely.
So our team has been very closely engaged with the Open Robotics and Intrinsic team, helping them, you know, implementing this RMW implementation. And how is it going?
It's going quite well. I think they are doing huge progress. They already have a first working version where they can test all ARVs. They even tested Navigation 2 and OpenRMF. They managed to implement also all the events that are happening in ROS with some substitutes that are not proposed by Zeno as DDS does. It's already very promising, and I think they will be ready for May to have a very first version with Jay-Z.
Yeah, exactly, because then there will be the first version of the Zeno RNW available. Yeah. And so something that, you know, we were discussing with the Intrinsic team was, from our perspective, the importance of being able to retain in the RMW implementation some of the features that we have in the bridge. Because for us, a robot, we see a robot, in a way as a point of integration. As we were discussing before in the use case from India Autonomous Challenge, was quite evident how you need to control what gets out, you need to control how things get out, which frequency and so on and so forth. So we will be able to achieve that in ZenRMW. What are the plans? Can you share something with the community?
Well, yes, actually the plans is actually to reuse the same design, same patterns that we use in the ROS2DDS bridge, starting of course with leveraging the Zeno query reply to implement all services and actions, which already saves a lot of bandwidth and complexity, but also to leverage the liveliness token of Zeno for all the graph cache, the graph discovery. They already implemented this. And with regard to connectivity, it will actually go back to something that all the ROS1 users were loving in ROS1, which was the ROS master. So now the equivalent of ROS master will actually be a Zeno router that will act as a discovery service, a rendezvous point, not leveraging UDP multicast because some robot don't have UDP multicast at all, but leveraging the Zeno gossip protocol. So all the nodes connect to the router and then the router exchange all the locators together and all the nodes will connect to each other in a peer-to-peer connectivity. So it will still be peer-to-peer, but with a Zeno router as a rendezvous point that will also serve to connect to the outside of the robot.
Exactly. So you will be able to control, essentially, through some of the latest features we've added to the Zeno router, downsampling, what goes out, and so on and so forth.
Yes. Yeah.
And eventually even access control.
Also.
Because there are also security matters.
And also you save also in terms of bandwidth because you only have one TCP connection rather than one connection per
node. So we need to go back again in time. Sorry. Hopefully you won't get motion sickness because of... Talking about security, I think it's worth mentioning that you also were one of the people that did the first implementation in the world of DDS security.
Yes, in Java, actually.
In Java.
In this Vortex Java.
Exactly.
Vortex Cafe product.
And back then, something else that was quite apparent for us or that became apparent quite quickly were also the scalability issue inherent to the model of DDS security, because it's really designed for a closed-world system.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes, it's really a key exchange between each participant and key negotiation between each participant point-to-point. So it's,
which would never scale.
Already discovery doesn't scale, so...
So if you add that, yeah. And so this approach that is being taken in the ZenRMW allow you to use also a router to secure an entire robot. And all of a sudden, in terms of security, it scales. It's going to scale much, much better.
Yeah, because all of a sudden there is only one connectivity to secure, which is outside connectivity.
Exactly.
Internal
one
to the robot.
One place to check access control and everything else. Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned something else quite interesting about microcontroller. So obviously a robot today, or in general robotic application, I think we can agree is in a general sense a cloud-to-microcontroller system, because you know you have the microcontroller that typically does all the controlling of the mechanics of the robot, like the control part. You have typically a more powerful or a general purpose, let's say, a processor doing the brain of the robot. But then for telemetry, teleoperation, and some other feature, you end up relying on some infrastructure that might be sitting between your device and a data center in this continuum. And Zeno has the potential, obviously, to run in all of this continuum down to the microcontroller. And that's really the next step that perhaps we should try to tackle in order to provide, you know, one protocol, as Zeno promised, from the microcontroller up to the data center.
Yes, there are really some interesting use cases to do with robot to X, so robot to sensor or sensor to robots, where you can have Zeno communication directly between an external sensor to the robot up to the robot, peer-to-peer fashion, or even going through the cloud or through the edge. Yeah.
And do you recall the Zenobot experiment?
Yeah.
That's interesting also to exchange, because thanks to Zeno, I think that, you know, you couldn't do a Zenobot before, but with Zeno you could, and that adds so much architectural flexibility. Yeah. So let's share our...
Just to explain what is what
the Zenobot.
Is Zenobot. Yeah. So we took the TurtleBot 3. So
Let me grab one.
Yes.
Let me grab one. We have one here.
Yeah.
We have robots everywhere.
So in TurtleBot 3, there are actually two bots. So there are two bots. You have the Raspberry Pi here, and you have a board, specific board for managing
this
all
one,
the LiDAR.
The OpenCR.
Yes,
at the
OpenCR
bottom.
At the bottom. Yeah, this one is connected to all the wheels, LiDAR, and so on. And actually, the brain is in Raspberry Pi. And you have this serial communication between the Raspberry Pi and the OpenCR. And the experiment we did actually was to remove the Raspberry Pi.
Exactly.
And to keep only the OpenCR. and to have all the logic implemented in Zeno, using Zeno Pico in OpenCR to drive the wheels of the robots.
And so all of a sudden, that brain could be anywhere. Could be on edge infrastructure, could be anywhere.
Absolutely.
And it was working perfectly fine. Yeah. We had added a dongle to do Wi-Fi because the OpenCR doesn't have a Wi-Fi dongle. And it was all of a sudden, it completely reduces the cost of the robot. It makes sure that... let's say, in terms of design, a robot remains fairly stable because you always want to add feature, right? This feature require compute, require potential accelerator, but the portion doing I/O is fairly stable. Mm. So through Zeno, you can all of a sudden easily decouple the control and, let's say, the logic while interacting even across a wireless. And that was what we were showing,
exactly.
Which I think from an architectural perspective, it's very, very powerful.
Yes, it opens a lot of possibilities, and more specifically for drones, for instance.
Yeah.
Where you have less power and less smaller boards which are needed.
Okay, so let's now go a little bit in the future. So this year, we will be again at ROSCON. And and I guess it will be the year of the Zeno RMW.
I think so, yes. I hope we'll manage to do some nice demos and demonstrating how RMW Zeno will work. We'll have a few months to prepare this.
Yeah.
And and we'll be more than happy to meet all the robotic community and to get feedbacks.
Absolutely.
Because we need some feedbacks on how it works, what could be improved in Zeno and in RMW Zeno.
So let's say see you at the ROS conference. And by the way, I mean, we've been quite active and present also in a regional ROS conference. So I believe you'll be covering the French one this year, right?
Yes, in June, yeah.
Where is it going to be?
In Nantes.
Ah, okay.
Not in June.
And then we'll be in Germany, we'll be in India, we'll be in Japan. Mm-hmm. Also strong presence in Japan.
You've been to Japan a few months ago already?
I was, of course, over there. I very much look forward going back. Yeah. And by the way, there is also something else that is coming up, which is a Zeno comic book, which I can't wait, honestly. The story is gorgeous. I can't give any... Honestly, I love the story. I hope everyone will love it. You know, come and see us at our booth, so you might get a chance to get a comic booth. And I think we'll also have the Dragon, which will be signing comic books.
Nice.
If they allow him, okay?
Yes. It's a big one, big Dragon.
But it's cute.
Yes, it's cute.
It's a growing Dragon.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Julian, it's always a pleasure having on the air with us.
Thank you, Angelo.
So keep on with the great work.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we love you, the community loves you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Angelo, and see you soon at ROSCON.
Okay. Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.